even with all of our best intentions, youth programming doesn't always work out the first time. How do you stop to evaluate those challenges and turn failure into success? This is the University of Minnesota Extension Center for Youth Development podcast. My name is Carrie Rabideau, and I'm an extension educator. In this podcast, we're going to hear directly from youth leaders who were involved in planning a not so successful event, but then use that as an opportunity to participate in a reflection process, which led to a new and much more successful version of the event. I am joined by my colleague, Nicole Cutterly, and St. Louis County Ambassadors, Maggie and Ryan. Thank you all for joining me.
Thanks for having us, Carrie.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks for having us.
Nicole, will you set the stage for us by telling us about the 4-H program that you work with, and then specifically moving into the program that moved from failure to success?
Yes. So as Carrie mentioned, I'm Nicole Cutterly. I'm an extension educator up in North St. Louis County. So I'm about an hour and a half north of Duluth is where my office is. And then from there, we have a very large county area that we cover. When I started in the county itself, one of the things that I really wanted to strive for was having lots of youth voice within to drive the program itself and to really give me guidance on what do they want to see in their own 4-H program? What do they want to get out of this? And so I started and developed a county ambassador program and invited youth from all over the county that were in sixth grade through 12th grade and even a year past high school for some of them. And they came together and we started this ambassador group. And that ambassador group develops youth programs that are youth-led. So they tell me what they want to do each year, what things are exciting for them. And we develop programs that help promote 4-H within the county. When we started with a project fund. It was an opportunity for youth in kindergarten through sixth grade to join together and to learn more of what 4-H has to offer and all the different project areas that they can explore. And it was a really successful event. We continue it every year, and every year ambassadors look forward to that. They ask for it and they say, yes, we want to do that, which is exciting for me. And so we continue to offer that event. 3 years ago, I challenged that ambassador group and I said, what else can we do? We have Project Funday. That's our one successful event, but what else can we do? So we started the year and I had 24 youth, sixth grade and up, who joined us and said, yes, we want to be a part of it. We see what you guys are doing in the county. We see how much fun it is. We want to develop those leadership skills. So they came together. We sat down and we said, every year we do Project Fun Day. What else can we do? And from there, they developed community service projects. They developed different recruiting events. They worked hard to rethink their county fair. And then they said, you know what? Let's do an outdoor survival skills day. Right at that same time frame, there was the news that coming out of California that two youth survived within the backcountry of California, and they used their 4-H skills that they had developed. And so this resonated with the youth in our county, and they said, we should really teach some survival skills. That's what we want to do. So the planning began, and the youth told me what they wanted to do. And they start from start to finish. They say, we want to do it on a Sunday afternoon. We want 20-minute sessions. And we don't want to lead these sessions like we do at Project Fun Day. We want adults to teach this because we want to learn survival skills as well. So they developed four topic areas that they wanted to teach or have adults teach out. They recognized who those adults were going to be. And then the planning started. And they began to work with those adult partners to develop lesson plans and what it's going to teach. Then we began to recruit for the Outdoor Survival Skills Day. We spent a month promoting the event and pushing it out to different schools within the area, different media and news outlets and social media. And we had six youth register for the program. We were going to have six youth ambassadors there, and we were going to have six adult leaders plus another round of volunteers behind the scenes working. So we quickly realized that there were going to be more youth and adult helpers than youth participants in this event. So at that time, I brought the group together and I said, should we hold this event or should we postpone this event for the year? And that's really when the youth took charge and said, we want to postpone this event. It is not going to be worthwhile for us to do this. So we're going to hold off. So we took a break the next fall, we brought the youth together again, the county ambassadors together again. And we said, what do you want to do this year? And that's when they said, we want to try outdoor skills again. And so we did. And in 2020, we did it. We did it in March of 2020, right before the pandemic hit. We had 35 kids attend the event. It was extremely successful towards the end of winter for us, but it was still a 35 degree sunny day. It was beautiful. And the kids had just the best of time. The evaluations that we had were just phenomenal. And so every year since then, we have figured out a way for this Outdoor Skills Day to continue on. And we just completed the third one. And again, just another successful event for our county ambassadors.
So the question we're all wondering, what was the difference? What happened between the first event when six young people registered and then now a thriving, successful event?
So after the decision was made that the youth decided not to hold the event, the next ambassador meeting, we came together and we evaluated what went wrong or what needs to be changed. We sat them all down in a room and we said, what were our successes? What were the things that went really, really well? And they identified the fact that they found adult leaders to help. They identified the fact that they had some really good topics, but then they identified the challenges. And that's really where we focused on. And they said, you know, survival skills may not be everybody's forte. It may not be the thing that every youth wants to learn, but they want to learn outdoor skills. We also recognize the fact that it's not youth-led necessarily, because they were bringing in adults to teach them. And our project funded that's always been successful has been youth-led. The youth choose their topics, they teach out those topics. And so they wanted to apply that same thing over here in the Outdoor Skills Day that they created. And they said, you know, we should be leading those events, not adults. So when we were able to evaluate the program, when we were able to kind of reflect upon the planning process of it, that's when the youth really identified and said, we kind of went the wrong direction, but here's our new idea that we really want to try and give it a shot.
Let's bring Ryan and Maggie into the conversation. Ryan, what was this experience like for you?
So back when we were first starting to plan this, I remember sitting down in that room full of youth leaders and we're like, how do we do this on a successful scale? So we were like, you know, we can't really teach these by ourselves. We need help because we're not experienced and we want that experience. So we thought by bringing in these adults to help us teach these, that the kids would get more of a valuable experience. And I remember when we finally like sent out all the registration stuff, we had everything planned out. We had all of our sessions planned. We knew what we were doing. We knew when we were going to do them. When we saw the results of like the registration, it was kind of a big letdown because we were excited to get going and actually do something that other than Project Fun Day. So then when we went to go plan for that next year, we decided to look and see like, how could we promote this more for 2020? And we had realized that we really lacked in the advertising department for this one because we really didn't get the word out there like we should have. Social media was not like the biggest presence in advertising as it was for 2020. So we decided to like take to Facebook and put on our county page and have club leaders, club youth, club families lead this through Facebook and social media. And then that's when we got the big influx in youth participation was due to the better advertising. And we're like, yay, like we have these numbers again. So then we decided to really hit it hard with the planning and make sure that they have like a, so that the youth would have more of a valuable experience and more of a teaching learning experience rather than just something that was thrown together last minute or something that we weren't prepared for. And based on the success of that year, we were able to battle the struggles of COVID-19 and go through into 2021, like we're going to have a successful Outdoor Skills Day. And we did. We had 21 youth, I believe, in that program. And it was so heartwarming to see that these youth were like, I still want to have fun with this. And that we were actually able to produce a good Outdoor Skills Day in 2021.
Ryan, had you been through a process before where you had stopped and said, okay, what went well? what didn't go as well? One of the things you brought up was advertising. What else did you guys discover that wasn't going well?
One of the other struggles that we had was trying to figure out which one of us ambassadors is available to be there for that day, because I know all of us had things going on, you know, with school and things like extracurricular activities. So that was like one of the biggest struggles for us.
Now, Maggie, one of the things that Nicole mentioned is the scope of the program that you all looked at in the beginning, that it was survival skills in the initial plan, and then moving it to the outdoor skills was something that was of interest then. Did that make a difference in who was leading? Did it change then from more adult leadership and teaching to youth leadership and teaching for, and during the program itself?
Yeah, I think it definitely changed who was more in charge. Because personally, for me, outdoor survival skills, it's not really my thing. So when we changed to Outdoor Skills Day, I was much more interested in leading it myself. Survival skills, it sounds very technical or difficult to like get into if you're not expecting that, or if you're thinking that you're just more wanting to have fun. So I think that calling it Outdoor Skills Day was actually a really big advantage for us because it sounded more fun. For example, one of the things that I led on our very first Outdoor Skills Day was a nature hike, and that has absolutely nothing to do with survival. So doing something more fun like that, rather than just building fires or making huts, was beneficial for us. I think it made it seem more fun.
And it's interesting to me to hear about that original needs assessment was based on a story of two young people who had needed survival skills. Then as you did your program design, you had to go backwards and do that process to say, well, maybe that isn't meeting the need. What was that like for you, Maggie, to go through that process? As I asked Ryan, okay, here's what we did well, but here are the challenges. And then how do you see yourself using that process again in the future?
I think that stepping back and saying, hey, these kids are pretty young. They don't technically or really need survival skills was kind of important to us, seeing as that they don't really care about, you know, kindergartners through sixth graders, they're less likely to care about what happens if you get in a car crash. And trying to cater to the age of kids that we were trying to cater to, we had to readjust how we were thinking about it. And it was definitely a process, since we were all a bit older at that point, trying to put ourselves back into the shoes of a third grader and trying to get the process that how do we think and cater to younger kids when we're older. And the process was definitely useful, seeing as we've had to change and adapt with it, stepping back, saying we have to change how we're thinking from even the last year doing the exact same event. It's been useful and kind of beneficial that the first time maybe didn't go so well.
Ryan, we want our programs to be youth-led, adult-guided. How is this program reaching that goal?
I think that having the youth like be the main leader in each of the sessions helps kind of reach that mindset of our target age group. Because sometimes if you have adults talking to kids, the kids will be kind of like, whoa, what's going on? There's a lot of stuff. But then if you have like youth leaders, it's at a point where they are like, oh, these kids are not too much older than me. So then, wow, these kids are doing it. It looks cool. This looks fun. I'm actually willing to learn. And having that experience has definitely helped my personal leadership skills develop and grow stronger to know that I am comfortable in leading a group no matter where I am at. Like if I'm working on a school project, if I'm working at my own job, and then having the adults there to help guide us into leading the group helps us know that, oh, okay, I know what I'm doing.
Maggie, where have you seen a development in your leadership skills and comfort in leading both younger kids through this outdoor adventure program, but in other areas?
Well, the first time that it didn't go well, I was kind of taken aback. I thought that, hey, this is somehow my fault, that maybe I wasn't good enough as a leader or as a planner to do this. but it kind of took me realizing that it wasn't my fault. It just, some things happened. We were just a bit off base. And that from there, I was able to grow as a leader and saying things go wrong. That's not a reflection on how good of a leader I am all the time. It's just things happen. And also seeing that if things do go wrong, that's an opportunity for me to grow and maybe change how I'm thinking or how I'm doing things. And not only Winter Outdoor Skills Day and Project Fun Day, it just helped me become not just like Winter Outdoor Skills Day, everything in life with the County Ambassador just has helped me become more confident as a leader and just more confident in talking, speaking, even, you know, being part of a group that I don't necessarily know or necessarily have a lot of in common with. I can still be there and lead if I need to.
And part of being a leader is that not everything goes perfectly the first time. That doesn't mean you're not a good leader. I really enjoyed hearing you say that. Being a leader is taking those situations that didn't turn out the way you thought that they would, learning from them and doing it differently and making it more successful in the future. Nicole, what have you learned as someone who guides youth leaders? What advice do you have for other youth workers who want to do the same?
So I have learned to let go of control around these programs. Our county ambassadors, these youth leaders, are fully capable of planning a program from start to finish. They are the ones that are going to make this thing successful because they get so excited about planning something and about sharing their own interests and abilities with other youth that it's just, I can't even describe how it feels to see these youth lead other youth and to share their passions about not only 4-H, but about the programs that they're doing or the topics that they're leading. And it's just so cool to watch them plan things from A to B or from start to finish, you know, from how long do you want your sessions to be? And then at the end of that going, okay, how was it? Were those sessions too long? And for them to give us feedback and using their feedback to drive how this program looks. Because I could easily plan this thing and I could say, yep, we're going to do outdoor skills and we're going to teach snowshoeing and tree identification and fire building. But that doesn't mean anything. And these are youth because they lead these sessions. That's what makes this program so cool and so successful. And by me letting go and letting them do that, it's unbelievable. And I feel bad because they're the ones leading the program. And I'm just kind of sitting back looking for things to do, especially on the day of the program. I'm kind of like, I'm over here to help. Who needs help? Anybody at all? Because they just have it. They got it. They write their lessons. They teach one another. They get the feedback from their peers before we go and actually teach to the youth. They tell me their supplies. How much do they want? I think they honestly enjoy getting to tell me what to do sometimes, maybe just a little bit. But it's just fun to see and so wonderful to watch them. And even when we have these programs that aren't successful, to be able to take that back to them and not, for me, not to just make that decision and say, nope, we're not going to hold this day because we didn't have enough youth, but for them to make that decision, not only are they learning what it really and truly means to plan a program, but they're really honing in on those leadership skills and saying, okay, that wasn't so great. What can we do better next time? How can we make this so successful? And so it can be scary to turn that over to youth leaders, but that's my biggest piece of advice is do it. Let them take the driver's seat. Let them tell you what it is that they want to do. And then I think the other big piece of our success, but also how others can make things successful is let the youth tell us where adults fit into this. Where do they come into play? Are they the ones teaching or are they the ones helping with cooking lunch? Or are they the ones helping to divvy out supplies? Letting our youth drive that not only lets our youth leaders become more of a leader, but also shows adults how youth can lead in such a great way, in such a unique way. And it's just so much fun to watch and to see them do this.
Yes. And perhaps the greatest lesson that I have learned through this podcast is that failures are not failures. They're opportunities to grow. They're opportunities to make changes and to grow as a leader and to give opportunities to our young people to be able to learn from things that don't go as well as you thought they were going to and to make it better next time. Maggie and Ryan, thank you for sharing your experiences with not only planning this program, but with developing your leadership skills through failures that you've transformed into successes. As we wrap up this podcast, I'd encourage all of you to go to our website to access more resources and information about youth development at www.extension.umn.edu/youth. As I mentioned, there's resources and information about upcoming training on many topics related to youth development programs that you can participate in either in person or online. You can also learn more about our Minnesota 4-H program that you've just heard about in this podcast. Also, I want to encourage you to read Nicole's blog post. It is called Finding Successes Through Failure. You can comment and ask her questions at the bottom of that blog, and I know that she would enjoy engaging in more conversation with you about this topic. I'll put a link to her blog in the description of this podcast. Thank you again to all of you for sharing your experiences.
Thanks, Carrie, for having us. It was great to share this with everyone.
Thank you for having us and letting us share our experiences.
Thank you so much for having us on.
This is Carrie Rabideau from the University of Minnesota Extension Center for Youth Development. Please tune in again soon.